Hello and welcome to the Displaced African podcast. The Displaced African is the African immigrant's personal development blog. It can be found at www.thedisplacedafrican.com. Okay, well, thank you very much. This is Mwangi here, and I'm here with Ekene Agabu. Ekene, please tell people who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm a young guy here in the United States, in my late 20s.
Yes.
I write and talk on sexual responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Wow, very concise. Okay, so... So how did you exactly arrive to become a speaker and writer on the area of sexuality? What was your journey to get there?
Well, you know what? That's a good question. It started for me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get to a certain point in your life and then you have to look back and ask yourself, how did I get here? So it was kind of something that I lived on my own. You know, mm-hmm. It was something within me. I didn't know why I made the decisions I made.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have a plan to be this way,
uh-huh.
But it made sense to me each time there was an opportunity to act out in one way or another. I would make a certain choice. It just made sense. You know what I mean? And then
you find
people around you making choices that they end up regretting, and you're asking yourself why.
Uh-huh.
You know why if. why do that if you don't want the outcome?
Okay.
You know why? So it was more like listening to, observing myself, observing my thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and figuring out who I was that led me here.
And at what point did it really crystallize in your mind that what you were doing was the right thing and other people were making mistakes? At what age would you say like that really hit home?
You know what? From 16, 17,
uh-huh.
Okay, from 16, 17, but from about 19, 20, I actually began to see it in a different light. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. When you're 16, 17, you're still under your parents, so you don't want to do anything bad, uh-huh. You don't want to get in trouble, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you're on your own, uh-huh. You begin to see, wait a minute, this is my life here. This is me. I'm responsible for me.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I'm responsible for my choices.
Yep.
You know, now I'm free. I could do whatever I want, but does whatever I want pay off?
Yep.
So
it's the law of cause and effect, basically. So you're just always looking at what the effect is of whatever it is that you're going to do.
Right. What the effect is, and you know what the truth of the matter is, and since we're on the topic of sex, which is what I deal with,
uh-huh.
It's not a good or bad thing. You
uh-huh.
know what I mean? It's
yep.
not. Is it right for you? That's the question. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm not saying sex is bad. Don't have sex or don't know. But when you do this, is that the right thing for you?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? If you're a young guy who has aspirations and goals,
uh-huh.
Is having sex and getting someone pregnant the right thing for you now?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, can you handle it, the responsibilities and everything?
Exactly, because you know what? Once the act takes place, what follows the responsibility, either in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
or with the baby, or with the abortion, it's all responsibility,
whichever
way you look at it.
Okay. And so now you're a speaker and a writer on sexuality, so like, assuming like we lived in a perfect world and your message was to hit home exactly as you'd want it to hit home, how exactly would the world look like? What would be the nature of society?
I don't know if you're familiar with this guy, Dr. Phil. I often say if I do my job right, there'll mm-hmm. be less people on Dr. Phil's show in 10 years. my point is, if you notice, right?
Yes.
Most problems, most relational or family issues that adults have
mm-hmm.
started as teenagers or young adults.
Yep.
Let me give an example, okay?
Okay.
You have a 38-year-old lady, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She's a divorced mother of two,
mm-hmm.
and she's now in a relationship and she's going to get married.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? She has two kids, and she's going to now take those two kids into a situation where they're going to become step there's going to be a step parent.
Yes.
Okay. And then her ex-husband is going to get married,
mm-hmm.
and her kids are now going to have a stepmother.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
But guess what? There's going to be so much chaos because you're going to be taking kids back and forth.
Yeah.
The stepmother is going to say something the mother's not going to like. The stepfather is going to say something the father's not going to like.
Now, yep.
Let's go back to that lady's life 20 years ago.
Yep.
She got pregnant at 18.
Mm-hmm.
She got pregnant at 18, got stuck with someone she doesn't love,
yep.
felt compelled to stay in the wrong relationship. Now, 20 years later, she's still suffering from that one decision made 20 years ago.
Yep.
So, if my intention for my message is that it'll be a world where when you're in your 40s, when you're in your 50s, you look back and you're proud of every decision you made.
Yep.
You're proud of where you are based yep. on the relationships you made, okay, and the family you have. Because you know something?
Yep.
As a single person,
yep.
the decisions you make right now affect the kids that you haven't given birth to yet.
True that. True.
Okay? The decisions you make right now affect the economy in 20 years.
Yeah.
If I go into a community of young people,
yes.
and we get every teenage girl pregnant,
yep.
in 20 years, that place will be poverty-stricken. They'll be crying because a teenage girl cannot provide for a kid.
It's very difficult. Very difficult.
It's very difficult. So I see a world or a community of people who are proud of uh-huh. the decisions they've made. That's wow. what I see. And it will affect families. It will keep families together. It will, first of all, keep the person together.
Uh-huh.
If the person is together, the person can keep a family together.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Okay? That's what I see.
Okay. And just as a little side note, so what would you say like is the purpose of family as per how you see it?
The purpose of family?
Yeah. The family unit.
I tell you what I see the purpose of a family. A family unit is a base. It's a solid structural base that is created to nurture and invite a newborn into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So let me put it this way, okay? We all are born into this world for a reason,
yes.
okay? But in coming into this world, we need to be nurtured physically and psychologically.
Yep.
Okay? If you come into this world and you want to do great things in this world and you don't have a buddy, you're sick, you can't do it.
Yep.
If you come to this world and you don't feel confident and you don't have a high self-esteem, you can't do it.
Yep.
So what a family is it's a base.
Yes.
To nurture and grow a child.
Yes.
And mature that child into a young, responsible adult so they can launch out and do what they're here to do.
Okay.
So if I as an individual want to start a family but I'm not prepared,
yes.
you know, to sustain a life, then what am I doing?
Yep, yep.
That's what I see a family as.
And let me ask, because it seems like one thing that's very cool is you seem like everything that you do, you begin like with the end in mind. So like, and I'm sure as, I don't know if your experience is like this, but a lot of people around you probably don't look at the world like that. They're very much about the short term, what's going to bring me pleasure in the short term. So how has that affected like the way you relate to your peers and stuff like that over the course of your life so far?
If I want to make sure I understand what you mean, you're asking how, based on the need for short-term gratification, how does that affect how I relate to young people now? Is that what you mean?
Not necessarily young people, but like the people around. It's just from what I've seen in my experience, a lot of people tend to be very much about the short-term gratification at the expense of the long-term.
Right.
So, but it seems like right. everything you do is very much about like 20 years from now, how will your life look like? 5 years from now, will you look back on
right.
this and, you know, look back on it well? So, like, yeah, that's I pretty much, like, has that caused any conflict or so far have people around you supported
okay.
you know what you've done?
I follow you. You know, in all honesty, and this is how, this is, you know what the truth is? It's all about the way we think and the way we see things,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because what you're going to do is you're going to have a short-term satisfaction or a short-term gratification with a lifelong consequence.
Yep.
So really, who's gaining? You know what I mean?
Yep.
It all depends on who's really gaining. Are you doing yourself a favor? Is it really fun? If I'm going to have this one night stand for 5 minutes and have a child I don't want for the next 30 years, is that really fun?
But yep.
You know, so it's all about showing people how to look at stuff.
Yep.
And realizing that your gratification right now, or your teenage years, or your young adult life,
yep,
is just a small part of your life.
Yep.
The decisions you're going to make here are going to stay with you forever.
Yeah.
So it's knowing how to, you know, it's looking at your whole life in its entirety and not thinking that today is just for today. Today is connected to tomorrow, and today is connected to yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So nothing, everything is one. So it's really showing people how to view life and understanding that, you know what, short term will soon end, but long term will be here forever.
Yeah. And it affects other people as well.
Repeat that?
No, and it affects other people as well. You don't live in a vacuum, so your decisions will affect the people, like your children.
Oh, yeah. It would affect people. Yeah.
Wow. And now, I don't know, did you grow up in the States, or did you grow up in Nigeria, or how did...
Well, I grew up in the States, then I went to Switzerland, and then I was in Nigeria, and then I came back here.
I say pretty much grown up in a wide variety of places. And one of the things that we talk about in terms of Africa is that there's a very large emphasis right now on the girl child, on training and nurturing and producing a girl child. A lot of the self-help material, even in the West, is very much geared towards women. And I don't know if in your experience you see like there's really a deficiency of things geared towards African boys and advice, meaningful advice, especially in this area of sex.
You know what? The thing about Africa is, unfortunately, we have a culture that is a bit backward. And when I say backward, I mean suppressive and dominant of women. Okay,
yep.
So we don't look at women as equals. We look at women as subjects of our own need and gratification, being the man.
Yep.
So a woman is trained to be nice and be good so that she can go to the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we don't treat them with respect. We don't treat them with value. We don't respect them. We don't give them honor. We use them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what I'll say to African boys is, that girl is your sister, that
mm-hmm.
girl is your mother, that girl is your cousin,
mm-hmm.
you know? You're a guy, but you came from a woman.
Yeah.
And without a woman, you can't reproduce, so respect her. Treat her like you want your sister to be treated. Treat her like you want your mother to be treated.
Yeah.
You know, because as we elevate women in mm-hmm. a society, we elevate the society, we elevate the culture. You put mm-hmm. down women, you put down the society. Okay? So mm-hmm. I'll say, just respect that lady like she was your mother. Respect that lady like she's your sister. Don't see her as an object or something you want to use. Don't see her as something you want to dominate
yep.
or control, because that's how your father did it, or that's what the culture says.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that will be where I'll start from.
Okay.
You know, just having that equal respect for a woman.
Okay. And to make it practical, what steps, like, for example, would you take to get, like, the boy from where he is, where he views women as objects, he has this huge sex drive with really no understanding of how to control it. How would you, like, take him towards, like, you know, what you'd want for his life, or how you see would be the best way for him to live life?
You know what, the way I will answer that question, you know, you talk about control
mm-hmm.
and, you know, trying to deal with feelings and urges. And it's not so much that we control it. You can't, let me give an example.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control a stream. You can't control a river.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you can do?
Mm-hmm.
You can direct it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
The force will always be there.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it's where you point it to or where you direct it that really matters.
Yeah.
So if a young boy is growing up and all he sees is, oh, I have this urge and I just want to knock up a woman or have sex with a girl, hold up a minute.
Uh-huh.
Your urge is fine. Your urge is natural, but what you really want your life to be about?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you want to be the guy who has kids all over the place? Is that what you want? You uh-huh. see, you have to, and that's where direction comes in. Uh-huh. How are you directing your life?
Yep.
Where do you want your life to be to go? What
yep.
do you want your legacy to be?
Yeah.
So it's not so much about sex itself. It comes now to you.
Uh-huh.
And when we figure you out, then you can figure sex out. But if you're a roaming animal who just responds to whatever you feel,
uh-huh.
the next time you see a woman, you're going to jump on her like a goat jumps on another goat. but if you understand that you're not a goat,
uh-huh.
you're a person.
Yes.
You're a person of character, you're a person of direction,
yes.
you're a person of principle.
Yes.
That's where it comes from first. I'll give you an example. In my own personal life, we all have the same urges.
Yes.
But when you sit down and say, what's my life about?
Uh-huh.
What do I want my life to count for? Do I want a girl to sit down and cry in her home because
uh-huh.
of me, because of what I've done to her? Is that uh-huh. what I want?
Uh-huh.
Then that will begin to direct the choices you make.
Okay.
But when you don't have a vision for yourself,
uh-huh.
then you're open to anything that will cause other people to be in harm or in danger. So it comes back to you as an individual having a direction for your life.
Okay. So it's basically like dissociating from the urge and realizing there's a part of yourself that's very separate from any physical urges you might have, and just taking a moment to reflect on exactly the consequences of your actions. Would that be a good way of...
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Have you seen any issues that seem to be quite specific to African immigrants as opposed to Africans who are living on the mainland in Africa in this area of sexuality?
You know what? Can I be honest with you? It's the same thing. It's the same thing everywhere. It's not different.
Uh-huh.
I kid you not. As I traveled, I've watched and observed. It's the same thing. You know, the only thing is that cultures may have different ways of conceiving certain things,
uh-huh.
but it's the same thing. I'll give you a good example.
Uh-huh.
In Africa, it's acceptable for a guy to have many wives.
Yes.
Or if you move away from the village setting, what you have in the urban setting in Africa is, you know, the man is wealthy,
uh-huh.
but he has this... The wife lives in one house, and his other wife lives in another house, and
mm-hmm.
they all have their own different kid, and he might live in his own house. And he spaces them out during the week. On Monday, he's in house A. On
mm-hmm.
Tuesday, he's in house B. So it's, you know, but he's a large family guy. He has 12 kids from
mm-hmm.
three women, okay?
Yep.
Now, it's the same thing, though. It's one man being irresponsible with a whole bunch of women.
Mm-hmm.
I bring you now to the United States in the inner cities. You have a guy who's in his 30s, he's 35, but he has 6 kids with 6 different women.
Wow.
But he's not married to any of them.
Uh-huh.
It's the same concept.
Uh-huh.
Different women, irresponsible behavior,
uh-huh.
poor consequences.
Uh-huh.
So what I've realized, it's the same thing. Kids lose their virginities at young ages in the States. Kids lose their virginities at young ages in Africa. It's the same thing, but one uh-huh. thing you realize as you move on to maybe the industrialized world, or uh-huh. I'll use the United States for example, is everything is brought to light. Things are brought to light. Things are spoken about. You know what I mean?
To get back to it, so you said like the way you see it, the main role of marriage is like to nurture a child, to nurture people for the future. What do you think it is? Is the main role of marriage for the partners involved, like for the man and for the woman? Are they the same? Are they different?
You know what? Okay, first of all, that's a good question. Marriage, well,
or relationships in general.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, the purpose... Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to look for a good way to put that now. You see, first of all,
mm-hmm.
you were not born to get married. Yes. Let me come from that point, okay?
Okay.
You were not born to get married.
Uh-huh.
That's not the goal of life, of uh-huh. being a man. Or you're okay on your as a man or as a woman, you're fine.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But there's something that should happen when you see someone
uh-huh.
that you feel you can't live without.
Uh-huh.
Not from a point of need, but a point from a place of desire.
Uh-huh.
You know, not from a place of feeling incomplete, but from a place of desiring to be with that person.
Yep.
So it's not a conscious. So you're not living in a conscious state of I have to get married. If I don't get married, oh, my life is going to be over. Or I just want to have sex, and I need to get married to have sex. It's not from a place to gratify anything within yourself, but uh-huh. it's from a place of wanting to add or give to another person.
Okay. So the okay.
Go ahead.
No. You go ahead. You go ahead.
So from that now comes a union.
Uh-huh.
Of a man and a woman, and as a result of that love union, there's uh-huh. offspring being what springs off that love.
Okay. So it's like a place where people can basically give to each other, expand by giving to each other.
Yeah, with no agenda, just to give to each other for the sake of giving to each other, because of that pure, genuine love for one another. And then as a result of that love, you see, what love now does is love multiplies. Things uh-huh. You now have kids that resemble that love, that reflect that love. That is uh-huh. why kids look like their parents. So uh-huh. each time the mother looks at the son, she can see the father in the son. And uh-huh. each time the father sees the daughter, he can see the mother in the daughter. You see, your child is a reflection or is a reminder of the love you have for your spouse.
Uh-huh. Wow.
You know, So that's what marriage is. It's not a thing of when I'm 26, when I'm 30, I want to get married, I want to have a house. You're trying to use a system to fulfill your own void. And uh-huh. the thing about it is when you're living in that conscious state of always needing something, you're going to sap the life out of people because it's never going to be enough.
Yep.
It's never going to be enough. You think, the woman thinks, I just can't wait to get married. She gets married and she's still not happy.
Yep.
But you've come with an agenda to take, to meet your own need, instead of coming with an intention to give or to love. So that's how I see relationships that we now call marriage.
Okay. And I see I was Googling you, and I see that you're a professional speaker up in Baltimore. Is that correct?
Right.
How did that come to be, like you becoming a professional speaker?
You know what? It's something I did. I did it when I started this four or five years ago. You know, I was speaking. People were hearing about me, and uh-huh. people wanted to represent me, and uh-huh. that's how we went. So you know, I get booked and I speak, and that's how it went.
And before that, like, how did you start speaking in general? Like before, like at one stage, of course, you weren't speaking. So how did you get from that stage to a stage where you actually started speaking to people about this area of sexuality? Did it start informally? Did it start in churches? Did it start?
Oh, it started actually. You know what? It started informally, and I remember. I'll tell you one instance that was real funny.
Uh-huh.
I was a youth leader at a church some years ago, like 6-7 years ago.
Uh huh.
And I would always talk to the youth every Sunday, right?
Uh-huh.
And it got so much that one day I got up to speak and they said, I hope you're not talking to us about sex again. So for teenagers not to want to hear about sex anymore, that could tell you that I was almost going, you know. So, I mean, it just kept on. I couldn't get away from it. I always wanted to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
So it just kept on going. But before actually narrowing and talking about sex, I always knew that I was going to speak.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but I when I finally got to the point of knowing what I wanted to focus on,
uh-huh.
that's how it took off. But it started off informally, okay,
uh-huh.
and it became formal and professional.
Okay, so, like, did you know that you wanted to do it from a very, very young age?
I knew from about 16, 17, the path I wanted to go. And over the years, you keep on discovering more and more.
Okay. So you've pretty much spoken for quite a while now.
Yes, I have.
And is it like just one program, or do you have like multiple programs and speeches? Or
When you say programs, what do you mean?
what I mean is, like, for example, someone books you to do a gig. Are there like different types of gigs that you offer, or do you basically offer the same core message and the same?
You know what? It's the same core message. It may come out in different ways, but it's the same core message. So you can't call me to speak on finance. I don't care about finance. You know what I mean? I don't care, so I don't, you know what I mean? But it's the same core message about sexual responsibility and relationships. That's what I focus on. That's what I'm really passionate about. That's what I love. So I don't focus on anything else.
Okay, and you do go mainly go to speak to universities, high schools, our young
Universities,
people.
high schools, churches, youth groups.
And okay, so walk me through, like, so you're at a youth group and it's your turn time to come up and speak. Like, what would be the flow of what you talk about on a typical day?
First of all, it depends on what you want or what you have in mind. You
Okay.
know what I mean? If you tell me, it depends on you. If you're calling me to speak somewhere, I'll ask you what's going on. Why do you want me to come?
So
You
let's say
know?
we have a community where, like, the teenage pregnancy rate is ridiculously high. Boys don't seem to have any control. They're very wayward, and we just want someone to come and, help guide these people to a place where they have nurturing relationships with each other, that, rather than just being pests on each other, and really bring the teenage pregnancy rate down. Those are the two main objectives we have. How would you address that?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. When I have a talk, okay? First of all, this is how if someone calls me to speak, first of all, they've probably researched me, so they kind of know what I'm about. So if they're calling me, they kind of figure I could probably do the job. You know what I mean? So if you tell me what your intention is, and I know I can do it, and I want to do it, I'll agree to do it. Now, honestly, it's on that day I'll know how I'm going to say it, or I'll know what is going to be said. But what hap what's guaranteed is, so long as I know the end result of, we can agree on the end result. That's all I need to know. And then I'll assure you, I'll guarantee you that, so long as I'm in agreement with your end result, I can deliver.
Okay.
But it varies based on who I'm looking at, the history of your group, who they are, what they are. You know what I mean? Different people, different strategies. I can't really sit down and tell you I'll do it this way. But I just have to agree with what your intention is.
Okay, so you just basically change approach depending on who you're going
Oh
to be
yeah.
speaking to.
Oh yeah. Definitely. You got to know who you're talking to.
Wow, that seems very, very, very brave. Just always freestyling and always with no. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Honestly, I'm not. If you're talking about styles, there, I don't. You see, all you're doing is, I can, in all honesty, you can write or present a very good speech. If it's wrong, it's not going to have any effect, you know. So it's more about getting to the people, and making sure they heard you, you know. And before that happens, you kind of have to feel them and know who you're talking to, you know. And then gradually, as you prepare for that day, you would know how to deliver. That's how I kind of work, you know.
Okay. So it's empathy, you just come from a place of empathy, then move towards the objective, in short.
Right. But we just have, all that matters is that we agree on the outcome. Once
Okay.
we know where we're going, I can get there.
Okay. And you said you're a writer as well. So, like, where do you write? Where would people find, like, pieces of writing that you've done?
Well, you know what? For my writing, I have some local publications here, but I have nothing mainstream out yet.
So
I'm gonna.
you're intending on writing a book, or?
Well, you know, I'm working along those lines. So I have nothing mainstream out yet. But right now, I write locally right now, but nothing mainstream out yet.
So for like the local papers and stuff like that.
Right.
Is that up in Baltimore?
Yes.
Okay. And where do you see yourself in future? Like what's the future for Kenneth?
What's the future? Honestly, all I know about the future is I want this message to get to every young person on the planet, and wherever that takes me. You know what I mean? So every day, every waking moment, that's what we're working towards, making sure that young people get this message. You know, I really want nothing hurts me more than seeing a young life wasted like that.
Uh-huh.
And what hurts most is seeing a young life wasted when I know I have the answer to them not wasting it. So every day I'm working so they can get it. Each time I see that 16-year-old with a big belly, I say I'm responsible for that. Each time I see that young guy who's just going crazy, I'm responsible for that because I should do this work so it can get to them and they can make right choices.
This has been the Displaced African Podcast. The Displaced African is the African immigrant's personal development blog. You can find it at www.thedisplacedafrican.com.